Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report, and I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. 53,000 Pacific Gas and Electric customers in Northern and Central California are without power this morning. The utility has shut it off because of dangerous weather conditions that could spark a wildfire. KQED's Dan Brecky reports.
With high winds and very low humidity descending on the northern half of California through tomorrow, PG&E began public safety power shutoffs scattered across 24 counties about sunset last night. The preemptive blackouts include 11,000 customers in Butte County, including Paradise and nearby communities incinerated 2 years ago by a fire sparked by a PG&E power line. About 22,000 Bay Area customers were shut off, including 5,000 in the Oakland Hills, near the area devastated by a 1991 wildfire. PG&E says it expects to begin restoring power during the day tomorrow, with a target of having all customers back online by late tomorrow night. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecky.
The agency that manages the state's power grid is calling for Californians to conserve power today. 2 months ago, almost a million Californians were left in the dark as high demand for energy during a heat wave led to the state's first planned rolling blackouts in decades. The California Report's Lily Jamali says the independent system operator is facing scrutiny over those blackouts, and she joins us now. Lily?
Well, Saul, today California's independent system operator will take calls from the public to answer some of those questions. They and other agencies like the Public Utilities Commission have been under a lot of scrutiny for what happened. Their explanations are laid out in a report that was the subject of a state assembly hearing earlier this week. CAISO has said that they weren't prepared to meet demand during the extreme hot weather that hit California in mid-August. Today's call will be a chance for the public to grill CAISO about what went wrong. But it turns out it's more complicated than a simple supply and demand problem. CAISO's own report suggests that California was actually exporting power to other states when we needed it most. It's easy to downplay what happened in August given everything else that's going on right now, but the fact remains that we still do not have a full understanding of those rolling blackouts, even as we're up against another flex alert today asking all of us to conserve. Saul?
Thanks, Lily. That's the California Report's Lily Jamali. In politics, the California Republican Party continues to stand by its use of unauthorized vote-by-mail drop boxes. And as KQED's Guy Maserati tells us, the issue is spilling over into national politics.
Democrats in California's three most competitive congressional races are crying foul over the private drop boxes. On Wednesday, Orange County Congressman Harley Ruda blasted the labeling of some of the boxes as official.
My opponent and the GOP are clearly engaging in heinous and illegal acts of election fraud.
President Donald Trump jumped into the fray on Tuesday night, urging Republicans to fight California's legal challenge to the private ballot drop boxes. State GOP spokesman Hector Barajas says labeling the boxes as official was a mistake.
We could have done a better job with some of the wording.
But he argues the party is just playing by rules that Democrats in the state legislature created, and that gathering the ballots in the boxes is legal under California law, which allows voters to designate a ballot collector to return their envelope.
The containers themselves and the boxes themselves still remain legal.
California's attorney general says legal action could follow if the boxes are not removed. But in a Wednesday letter, the state Republican Party said they have no plans to stop the program. For the California Report, I'm Guy Maserati.
And as that fight continues, record-breaking numbers of Californians have already voted. With more on that, here's the California Report's Angela Corral.
More than 1.5 million vote-by-mail ballots have been cast so far. At this point in the 2016 presidential election, only 150,000 ballots had been turned in. In a statement, Secretary of State Alex Padilla calls the numbers historic and says more people voting by mail means Election Day will be safer for everyone who needs to be there in person. All Californians who are registered to vote are being sent mail-in ballots. They can be returned by mail in the included envelope, which does not require a stamp. Ballots can also be returned in person to an official drop box, a voting location, or elections office. Or you can turn it in at any polling place on Election Day. If you're not registered to vote, it's not too late to sign up by mail and online. You can also just show up on Election Day, and you can register and vote at the same time. But don't forget to look up your polling place first. It's likely to be different this year. For the California Report, I'm Angela Corral.
When someone's having a mental health crisis, it's often the police who respond, and the data shows that people displaying signs of mental illness are far more likely to be killed by police during these encounters. Now, Oakland and San Francisco are implementing programs that would remove police from crisis response. Now, the city of Los Angeles is also moving forward with developing its own unarmed civilian crisis response teams. From KCRW, here's Anna Scott.
LA's City Council voted unanimously to start searching for a nonprofit to partner with on creating a pilot program. The new crisis response teams would also be dispatched for suicide threats and substance abuse calls. Several members of the public urged city officials to do something more expansive. Councilmember Marquise Harris-Dawson co-wrote the proposal and said this.
Outside the government, it looked like a small thing to say, when someone has a mental health crisis, a mental health worker should respond.
But in fact, he said, it's a big deal for the city to even consider changing how it has approached public safety for decades. Details are yet to come, but LA city officials see a model in Eugene, Oregon, which has a program diverting nonviolent emergency calls to teams that include a medic and a crisis worker. For the California Report, I'm Anna Scott in Los Angeles.
One of the deadliest training accidents in recent military history occurred off the coast of San Diego in July, when 8 Marines and 1 Navy sailor were killed when their amphibious assault vehicle sank during exercises. Now the Marine Corps has fired the Camp Pendleton-based battalion commander in charge of that unit, Lieutenant Colonel Michael J. Regner. In relieving Regner of command, the Marine Corps cited a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead. The Marine Corps is still investigating the incident. 7 others who were aboard the assault vehicle survived its sinking. Let's turn to the economy. New national unemployment numbers are out this morning, and they are not good. 898,000 new first-time jobless claims were filed last week, which is higher than some forecasts predicted. Meanwhile, California's Employment Development Department says it's making progress towards eliminating its massive unemployment claims backlog. That thanks in part to a new identity verification system known as ID.me. KQED's Julie Chang reports the system is helping EDD process claims faster and head off fraud.
New claims coming in since EDD implemented ID.me last week have had a 70% pass rate. That's according to Amy Tong, director of California's Department of Technology. At a hearing Wednesday, Tong said the remaining 30% is made up of claims that require extra assistance, but that some could also be fraudulent.
I would not go as far as say all 30% of them are fraud. There are legitimate claimants that just need extra help to get through.
Tong said the 70% pass rate is right on the mark for complex states like California, and anything higher could signify two lacks of a check. EDD's focus on fraud has been a point of contention. A state-backed report cited it as a contributing factor to the agency's backlog of claims, and concerns about both the threat of fraud and the risks of an overemphasis on it came out at the hearing. For the California Report, I'm Julie Chang.
And finally today, when the coronavirus pandemic hit, Hollywood essentially went dark as crews and actors stayed home. But you know what I've noticed driving around LA in recent weeks? Production trucks and camera crews are back shooting on the streets of Los Angeles. New numbers out from Film LA, the office in charge of location permits, show production is up compared to the worst months of the pandemic, with Film LA getting dozens of new applications daily. But production is still down by 55% compared to this time last year. One production bright spot, according to the numbers, is reality TV. Its smaller crews and cast means it's easier to maintain coronavirus safety precautions on set. And that is the California Report for this Thursday, October 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez in LA. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering remote telefinance services with financial advisors and digital financial planning tools. PersonalCapital.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy harnesses the power of people and science to create innovative solutions for a healthy environment, just societies, and opportunities for human achievement. And Water Heaters Only, specializing in the repair and replacement of water heaters since 1968. Licensed and insured, open 24 hours a day, every day. Learn more at waterheatersonly.com.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.